Joining us today is John Feinstein, sports writer and author, written many books about the PGA, about NCAA basketball, and one that I should mention is a favorite of one of my coworkers is about the Patriot League basketball. I think The Last Amateurs was the name of that book.
Yes, and I'm guessing that your coworker is a graduate of one of those schools.
Actually not, but he enjoys college sports and sort of the effort behind a sports athlete. He said he really appreciated
it. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, this book that we're about to talk to has something of that in it, even though these guys I'm writing about are professionals. Many of them are still playing just because they love baseball.
The book is called Where Nobody Knows Your Name. How did you find out about them? How did you get to know their names?
Well, I spent a season hanging out in the International League, just going from stadium to stadium. I tried not to go in with any preconceived notions about who would have the best stories, but it was amazing when you walked into each individual clubhouse. There are 14 teams in the International League, and you'd look around and you'd see Dontrell Willis, you'd see Miguel Tejada, you'd see Jamie Moyer, you'd see Mark Pryor, you'd see a lot of guys who've been very successful major leaguers. And they sort of became a starting point for me because I knew, okay, these are guys who've been around, who have stories to tell, and who readers will know. But then as I got more and more into the book, I started finding out and hearing about guys who maybe weren't as well known, but who had very compelling stories to tell. And I guess, as I said in the introduction, to me the story that sums up the book better than any, and there are, of course, many stories in the book, but is a guy named J.C. Boskin, who played 14 years in the minors and had gotten to a point where he thought maybe he'd never get to the major leagues. And the Braves were doing September call-ups. He was in Gwinnett at AAA, and he saw four guys go into the manager's office and told that they were going up to Atlanta, and nobody came anywhere near him. And he thought, well, another year, I didn't get called up. And a minute later, one of the coaches came over looking kind of grim and said, J.C., Skip wants to see you. And he goes in, and Dave Brundage is the manager, and he looks pretty grim, too. And he's thinking, I'm getting released. I'm 31 years old. They're going to release me. And Dave Brundage said later he was going to do a shtick like that for a minute. But when he saw the look on J.C. Boskin's face, he couldn't do it. And he just looked at him and said, J.C., I can't mess with you. You're going up. And J.C. Boskin just burst into tears because he couldn't believe it. It had finally happened. And when he walked back in the clubhouse, everybody in the clubhouse was in on it and had been told. He was the only one who didn't know. And you remember that last scene in The Rookie where Dennis Quaid walks up the ramp and the whole town is waiting for him? That's what the Gwinnett clubhouse looked like that night. They're all waiting, cheering, clapping, crying, hugging. And to me, that's what AAA baseball is about. It's about knowing that dream is out there, whether you've been in the majors before or you've never been in the majors, knowing that dream's still out there and trying to get back to the majors.
Well, that's what drives them, I guess, to want to continue playing for that one hope. And I had talked with a guy who's done through that, Dirk Hayhurst, who's an author, baseball player, and he mentioned how sometimes you kind of look to see who's being injured or what's the health of the team, because you know that if there's an injury, there's a pipeline that's going in one way or another, and you might be able to get on board that train, so to speak.
Right, and that's a very good point. In fact, one of the sayings in AAA, even though it sounds a little bit cold, but it's true, is guys say, I'm an accident away. Somebody gets hurt up at in the majors, you know it's going to happen. Somebody from here is going to get the call. And it's funny because I was in the Pawtucket clubhouse one day, and the Red Sox game was on the TV in the clubhouse on a Saturday afternoon, and Bobby Avilas, the Red Sox shortstop, goes down, you know, holding his ankle. And 10 guys rushed to the TV. And being honest, it wasn't because they were all that concerned about Bobby Avilas' health. It was because if he couldn't play, the call was going to come for somebody to go up from Pawtucket. And Arnie Baylor, who was the manager, said to me later, you know, you see that all the time. It's human nature. He said, but remember, I get to tell one guy he's going up, and that's the great moment. But then there are four other guys I got to go tell why they didn't go up. And that's the hard part of being a AAA manager, because every time somebody goes up, there's three or four guys who think it should be their turn, and it's not.
Right. I was looking, you know, the name of the book you have, Where Nobody Knows Your Name. So I looked at the names, and I thought, don't know that, don't know that. That one sounds familiar. I kept thinking, Scott Ellerton. Why do I know that name, Scott Ellerton? Then I looked it up. He played with the Indians twice. He was in 2004 and again in 2008. So he's one of those people that, as you say with your book, people may have seen him for just a cup of coffee, as they say.
Well, you know what's interesting? Scott Ellerton was a first-round draft pick when he came out of high school in Colorado. And in 2000, with a bad Houston Astros team, he was 17-7. And then he started to have, you know, some shoulder issues. He also had some, as he said, living the big league life issues, and ended up, as you said, becoming kind of a bounce around, up and down guy, pitching to a very high ERA when he was in the majors. And he retired in 2008, and you know, said, "Okay, I've made some decent money. I'm going home." And 3 years later, he took his son to a game in Denver to see some of his old teammates who were actually playing with the Phillies at the time. And you know how when they let people down on the field for batting practice, you know, fans and people who bring their kids down for whatever reason, they set up a little barrier to keep you away from the batting cage. And Scott Ellerton was standing with his 7-year-old son behind that barrier. And it was making him crazy. He was, "What am I doing here? I'm not a civilian. I'm a baseball player." And Ruben Amaro was standing nearby, the general manager of the Phillies, and he called his name, and he said Amaro clearly didn't recognize him. But he came over to be polite, and Scott said, "My name's Scott Ellerton." He said, "Oh, yeah, Scott, I remember you." He said, "Is there any chance you think I could pitch again?" And Ruben Amaro said, "Well, if you want, I'll send somebody out to watch you throw." And he ended up coming out himself a couple months later, watched him throw, signed him, and Scott Ellerton in 2012 came back and pitched. Almost made it back. Almost. Pitched really well for part of the season, but ended up spending the whole year in Lehigh Valley. But he was that close.
You also profile some managers as well as umpire. I didn't know umpires, what kind of path do they take to get to the big league?
Well, it's very interesting because the umpire I work closely with is an Ohio guy, Mark Lolo, who lives in New Lexington. And umpires are like players. You know, they start out at the bottom, and they if they're good, they work their way up. And Mark Lolo had worked his way up from doing summer college leagues to AAA, and in fact was considered the top umpire in the International League, and had gotten on what they call the call-up list, which is the top minor league umpires. When the major league guys go on vacation or someone gets hurt, something like that, they get called up. And he was on the call-up list in 2011 and thought, "Okay, I'm close. I'm right on the verge." But in 2012, he didn't make any more progress. He'd gotten called up for 6 games in 2011. 2012, he only got called up for 2 games. And at the end of the season, he got a phone call basically saying, "Mark, we're releasing you." Because when you're an umpire, you don't have the option to go back to AAA. If they decide you're not going to make the major leagues and be a major league ump, you're done. They just say, "Sayonara, thanks for the memories," and you got to go out and find another job. And 31 years old, Mark Lolo had to start his life all over again. He was that close. He was in the major leagues. He worked 8 games in the major leagues, but somebody made a subjective judgment that he wasn't quite good enough. And unlike players who can say, "Well, I'll take AAA, I'll deal with it because I'll still be in baseball," umpires don't have that option.
The book is about the minor leagues, where when you are drafted out of high school, it's just you. You're in your dream. Then you get older, and there's probably a wife or kids or a family. Mm-hmm. What kind of impact or support and does that bring to a minor league player and their decisions as their baseball career goes forward?
Oh, there's no question that it has an influence, because if you've got a wife and kids and you're in AAA and you're making $60,000, $70,000, maybe $80,000 a year, that's not terrible money, but it's a lot different than being in the major leagues where the minimum salary is $500,000 a year. And as you get older, you sort of have to say, "Okay, how much longer can I chase this dream? Is it realistic? Am I going to get there? You know, do I need to consider a job where I'm on the road less and maybe can eventually get paid more?" And interestingly to me, like, one of the guys I talked to was Brett Tomko, who you probably know that name because he pitched in the majors for years, won 100 major league games. He's 39, and he's back pitching in AAA, and he's thinking he and his wife just had twins. They're a couple years old. Maybe it's time to go home. And it was his wife who said, "No, Brett, you need to chase this to the end, because if you don't, you're going to regret it the rest of your life. And I don't want you sitting around thinking, what if I'd been able to get back to the majors one more time?" So he went back and tried it again.
The name of the book is Where Nobody Knows Your Name, Life in the Minor Leagues of Baseball. Our guest today has been John Feinstein. John, thanks for sharing the stories with us today.
Thanks for having me,
thanks.
Bruce.
Bye-bye.
Take care.